We had started lesson five on God's power over nature. And we are ready to start on page 70. Question two.
But that's chapter 6 in the reading.
Correct.
That author needs help. Sorry. Crazy.
Well, just a little bit of review of what we started with last week was that how God has not walked away from the day-to-day control of his creation. He has established physical laws by which he governs the forces of nature, but those laws continuously operate according to his sovereign will. And the Bible teaches that God controls all the forces of nature, both destructive and productive, on a continuous moment-by-moment basis. All expressions of nature, all occurrences of weather, whether it be a devastating tornado or a gentle rain or a spring day or acts of God. So, and Isaiah 45:7, it says, I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. I and I alone have the power and authority to bring about both prosperity and disaster, both weal and woe, both good and bad. And afflictions don't just happen. They are all within the sovereign will of God. And the sovereign God who subjected creation to frustration still rules over it, pain and all. God never wastes pain. He always uses it to accomplish his purpose. And his purpose is for the glory and our good. Therefore, we can trust him when our hearts are aching or our bodies are racked with pain. So as we read through Job and Psalms and all these, 1 Samuel, we found out that, you know, God does control the rain, the ice, the snow, the wind, you name it, all the forces of nature. And the cloud, the rain, and he sends it where he wants it to go. And he has closed the womb of Hannah, and he forms us in our mother's womb. So he's in control of creation and of human creation as well. So if a couple is unable to have children, how can these verses help? You know, but just to know that God has a purpose, it's for his glory and our good. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have pain or some discouragement or something, but just have to realize that God does have that in control. So I think I'm okay. I jumped ahead there. I missed a page. Okay. Anyway, let's look at number 2 on page 270. It says, what is your usual attitude toward the weather? Do you tend to complain about it? Thank God for it? Feel that God isn't responsible? Any thoughts?
I complain
when it's 90. What's
that? I complain when it's 90.
And it's 0.
I don't complain
when it's 0. Just depends on whether you like it or not, or if it's convenient for us today.
Any other thoughts?
When it's 72, light breeze, and low humidity.
And there it works.
For sure.
Yeah, I do enjoy some rainy days, and I see the clouds as silver lined, and that really boosts my spirit. But I'm most thankful when the weather is sunny and about 70 to 75 with a slight breeze. But thankful for rain when it's needed, and don't like high humidity.
I can agree on that too, but mostly I do kind of like the rain. Then that I do not like the storms. I'm afraid of storms. Since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
I like the rain, the breeze. Mm-hmm. I think like mid-70s to low 60s.
Yeah. Anybody else there?
I feel like I need to take the attitude of a farmer because John's brother's a farmer and he's just very trusting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get rain, you know, he's not, he's concerned, but it doesn't consume his thoughts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if there's hail, then, you know, that's just the way I plant. I mean, he's got an amazing spread.
They don't have a choice at all.
Yeah.
It's bad weather, so you go in and work on the machinery that broke yesterday.
He's very even, and I wish I could be a little more like this.
Well, I've noticed riding the bus, all the fields that have been combined and picked, and how empty they're getting, and some of it's even been worked up already. So they've had a beautiful fall this year to really get a lot of that done. And so just thank the Lord for that.
On the other hand, I have a grandson who is suffering from allergies from all that activity.
Yeah,
And so he prays for rain. All the farmers are out there praying for dry
weather. You see a lot of dust in the air, that's for sure. You see them going.
And all the fires this past week.
Oh, I know.
I had no idea that Mark said he came by Goodfield and he said there was a combine on fire. And I'm like, what? And then I get to work and they're telling me all fires around Delavan and
Tremont, too.
To evacuate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the farmers' wives are home worrying and praying.
Yeah.
Bad season. People get caught in combines. Mm-hmm. Or they use John, if that's, that's such a thing today.
Okay, is your attitude generally pleasing to God? Why or why not?
I left a blank.
I hope it is, but only God can answer that question.
I said depends.
Yeah.
I said too,
can
sometimes.
Be better with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I use the weather to start a conversation, especially like with a person in the store or whatever. But then I should look at that as an opportunity. If they start complaining about it, and just being able to somehow turn that around to
God's in control.
He knows, you know, what we need and all the rest. But
I got two phone calls yesterday from the emergency management. And one said that there's an alert for Mackinac area to have 70-mile-an-hour winds. And then they sent out another one that said the fire department has requested you not burn anything because of the low humidity, higher temperatures, and the wind, not to burn anything. So,
I got that too.
Yeah.
In Vermont.
Oh, really?
Puzzle County, it said.
Yeah, yeah, well, it could be.
Is that, you have home phones?
I was
going to
say, did you get that on the landline?
It came on
my phone. iPhone.
It came through on both of mine, my home phone and my.
I got left out too.
Okay, let's look at Isaiah 45, verse 7.
There's an Exodus one there, too, Sam.
Pardon?
There's an Exodus verse there, too, that same question.
Oh, there is, yeah. I'm not with it this morning. Let's look at Isaiah 45, 7, then we'll look at Exodus here. Okay. Do you have that, Donna?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Okay. So let's look at Exodus 4:11. Okay, Dolores.
I gotta find it here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 45:7. And God sent before me, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity. Is that right?
Are you reading really wrong? 45:11.
No, 45:7. Mm-hmm.
4:11.
Exodus
4:11.
Exodus 4:11.
Okay, God sent me before you to preserve you.
I don't think that's right, Dolores. Are you in Exodus 4?
Exodus 4, verse 11.
I got it, Neil.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Then the Lord said to him, you mean a person's a mouth, and who makes someone deaf and are not able to speak? Or who gives a person sight or blindness? It is the Lord. It is the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And this is referring to Moses here when he complained to the Lord that he was not going to be able to go before the Pharaoh and give the message because he was not an eloquent speaker. So what is God taking responsibility for here in these verses?
Everything.
Creating the human body, either healthy or with all senses intact, or even muteness, deafness, blindness.
Yep.
Creator over all nature, light and darkness, well-being. And I thought it was very interesting in Isaiah that he says, causing well-being and creating calamity. Mm-hmm. We don't think about him creating calamity. You think he allows it, but he says he creates it. And I think he brought that up in our, Carrie Bridges brought that up in her book as well.
Yeah. He is the Lord and there is none, no other. Okay, any other thoughts on that? So what are some possible responses to these passages?
About complaints? Not that I ever do that.
Just a thought. He wants people to know he is Lord. He's our Lord.
That's right. Yeah. Sometimes we say God isn't being fair. Why? Why is this like this is? You know. Sometimes there's even anger because it's not what we want. But we can also say that because he is sovereign in all his ways and just and loving, and he gives grace and mercy. So whatever he brings, we have his grace and his mercy that will get us through it.
I guess one possible response is unbelief.
That's true. So what response do you choose and why?
The one before that, you could have awe at God's creation, and I do at times, just, you know, when you see the sunsets and the sunrises, and, you know, but then there is the anger, like you said, that can be angry that you could create calamity or create blindness or deafness or, you know, whatever. Of course, I want to choose awe, but at times I would wonder why, you know, why does God create calamity or create these situations?
I guess Thanksgiving might be one, too.
I think there again, it's just kind of remembering, too, that he has a purpose for everything. I don't know. We don't know what that is, but we can trust that he has the best interest of all of us. So.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Hope you feel better.
I feel okay. It just happens all the time, you know. Okay. IBS.
Yeah. Okay, what does God teach us about the conception of children in these verses?
You missed one here, Sandy, number 4.
Oh, I'm having a very bad morning here. Okay.
So is Carol.
I even turned to John, but no, John 9, 1 through 3, so.
I was on the wrong chapter, Sandy, so don't forget.
Well, I think I have John 9, okay. 3. Mm-hmm. Let's give it a shot. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
John 9.
9, 1, oh, on through 3. Oh, it started at 1, and yeah. I didn't read that. Shall mm-hmm. I start over? And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
Okay. So explain in your own words the reason Jesus gives for the man's blindness.
It was God's will. Mm-hmm. He's trying to show his glory, his power, his personhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Show the works of God and his gives him an opportunity to show his glory and all these things. Any other thoughts on that?
I put he is the light of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at Genesis 16:2.
Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Mm-hmm. Abram agreed to what Sarai said.
So what do we learn here about conception?
God's in control.
Mm-hmm. He can close the womb. Mm-hmm. It can prevent conception. I looked at Genesis 29:31.
When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren.
So what do we have here?
What you just said.
Yeah. He can open one and close another. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's look at Judges 13:3.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son.
So what do we see here?
God is in control. She was barren and he allowed her to bear a son.
Yeah, she would be able to bear. He even told her what sex she would have, you know. Let's look at.
Why is that? Yeah. I don't know. This must be our age, I guess.
Isn't everything like a party anymore?
I guess. It's not like you're wrong.
No.
Yeah, it was always a surprise when. We had ours, I know.
No surprises anymore.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I know they want to know. I know Zach and Tirza want to know what it's going to be. And they've got names picked out already for a boy and a girl.
Wow.
So.
Wow. In today's Daily Bread, anybody read today's Daily Bread? The what? Name of a person was Thankful.
Oh, really?
I guess it was I'm not sure I decided. It was a man or a lady. I think it was a lady. But their first name was Thankful. I thought, well, okay, yeah.
Well, I guess. We have a new student last week whose first name is Sincere.
Is that right? I guess it's okay. We're just
a boy
in the realm.
A boy.
Sincere Spikes is his name.
Huh. There was a little girl that used to come here. Her name was America.
Huh.
So, never know.
There's one too, the name who sings in the what's it called? What's the arm? Susan.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
At least we can pronounce those.
That's what I was thankful for. Zach and Tirza, if it's a boy, it's David Robert, after the two grandpas. But Matt's middle name is David, and so is Zach's middle name, David. And of course, my husband was David. And the Robert is after Tirza's grandfather. And if it's a girl, it's Elizabeth Rose. So I can pronounce those. I know I have a niece that's, her first little girl is Hazel and the other one starts with a K, and I don't know what it is. So, okay, 1 Samuel 1:5. Do you have that, Mandy?
No, I don't get it.
Okay.
If someone can get it, I don't mind.
Okay. You want to go ahead, Donna? Donna, if you have it.
Me?
Yeah, if you have it.
Okay. 1 Samuel 1:5.
Just go ahead. Or...
Okay, go ahead. Get it here. It's on 1:5.
And just...
It was 1 Samuel? Yes.
Mm-hmm. 1 Samuel 1:5.
Okay. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb.
Okay. So he loved her, and still he closed her womb. Mm-hmm. And Psalm 139:13.
For thou hast possessed my inward parts.
Okay.
Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb.
Okay. So what do we learn here? Mm-hmm. He forms us in our mother's womb. Yeah. So if a couple is unable to have children, how can these verses help them maintain a trusting attitude toward God?
Well, I can speak from experience on these verses. Because it was a tough time. Mark and I being married for 5 years and unable to have children. But these verses and others, you know, knowing that God is in control of all, his timing is perfect, his ways are perfect, even though we may not see the big picture. And of course, looking back now, it's easy to say those things. Mm-hmm. Going through it, it is painful.
Yeah.
Very, very painful.
Yeah.
So, but he, and there's some questions, and I'll share a little bit more maybe when we get to another question up here, but... Yeah, he is faithful.
Yeah.
My mom said to me this morning that she needed me. That's how she said. She said that God knew that she needed me.
Mm. Precious, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
What were you say, Carolyn?
Well, we lost our first child 5 years after marriage, and then didn't have any for 5 years went by. We didn't know why. And I did not trust them. I been to church, but anyway, it's like you say, it's just a tough time. You don't know what's going on, and you just question.
Well, my first two pregnancies ended in miscarriage, and when the third one came along, I didn't know, you know, do I go ahead and plan, or what do I do? But then the next three were just fine. So, but you never...
I don't know, that's interesting. There's so many of us in here that had trouble in the beginning with, and I didn't know that. That was part of my problem. I thought I was the first person that ever happened to. Everybody else was popping out. Kids like, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
My brother and sister and Earl's brother and sister, they just had kids all over the place. But in just knowing that now, I could have had a lot easier time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first one I had, we were in Germany. Dave was in the service, so... There was no family around, you know, because it was in the early weeks of it, but still, it was something I wasn't expecting. So, but anyway, the Lord blessed. And three boys, I guess that's a blessing. I used to say when they were really young, I wonder what I did that was so bad that I got three boys. But they've proved to be a special blessing to me now, that's for sure. I don't know what I'd do without them. You know, it's hard to understand why on some of these issues. But God knows. He knows what is needed. And I guess maybe he took Dave early to heaven so he could meet our two miscarriages, you know. And then, of course, Jason and Christine miscarried their first child as well. So he got a grandchild up there as well. So now it has a grandpa and a daddy.
Don't you just wonder what's going on up there?
Yes, a lot. Okay, the idea that God claims responsibility for deadly earthquakes, droughts, blindness, and childlessness prompts sensitive people to ask questions. Certainly, we can't learn much without asking questions. Are there limits to the kind of questions we should ask of God? If so, what limits? And if not, why not? What are your thoughts on that? Are there limits?
He's big enough to handle any question.
Yeah. No limits. But what kind of questions should we ask? How should we ask them? I think we need to be willing to accept his response to whatever it is, and we need to show humility and reverence for the Lord, honor his holiness. I don't think we can be demanding. That's not our attitude that we should have. So, any other thoughts on that?
I put we should have faith.
Mm-hmm.
That it's for God's glory.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're really too self-centered. And, you know, and I've said it in this class many times, and Pastor Kevin's been preaching on it, the need to die to self. Mm-hmm. And we just don't do that. I mean, we put ourself ahead of everything. And that's not what we should do. Our focus needs to be on the Lord, period. Can we expect God to answer our questions? Why or why not?
Oh, that's what I thought. That's what I said. Never mind. What I said was for that question.
Oh, yeah.
It works for all of them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think he answers us depending on our need at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I thought, you know, even when we are raising children, we don't tell them everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not old enough, they're not mature enough to know this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God can deal with us in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this goes on to one of the other questions that when it says some reasons why he leaves many of our questions unanswered, I think it's that he knows we couldn't handle the answer at that
mm-hmm.
time. But he also wants us to live by faith, not by sight, to be dependent on him. So he's not always going to answer our questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows what is needed and he knows when it's needed. And so he can choose to answer in our timetable, but it may not be in our timetable.
No, he is.
And it might not be how we might want him to answer. But it's learning to say, "Thy will be done and not my own." So what kind of attitudes are acceptable when questioning God? And I think we've kind of talked about that a little bit already. Does anybody have anything to add to that? I think there again, reverently, with humility, and willing to accept his will. I know I've always said, "Lord, I want, you know what my will is, but I want your will because it's the perfect will." So what kinds of attitudes are unacceptable?
Defiance, demanding,
mm-hmm.
self-righteous.
Mm-hmm. Insisting on our own way. Threatening God. You know, if you don't do this, I won't do that, you know, type of thing. Or if you do this, I will do that. You know, I mean, that's bargaining with God. Mm-hmm. So give some possible reasons why God leaves many of our questions unanswered. We've already kind of talked about that a little bit too. So that they are not in our best interests or what we really need at this particular time. Maybe it won't bring glory to God, and only God can see the whole picture. And so, any other thoughts on that?
You wouldn't understand?
Yeah.
You wouldn't accept it?
Mm-hmm.
Or couldn't?
To strengthen my faith? Could that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's growing us too, so we hear with our hearts.
So describe an experience in your life that caused you to doubt God's control and to ask why. Anybody have anything there they want to share?
Well, again, our infertility. And I, in the next question, what answers did you get? I got a lot of silence from God during that time. And that was the hardest, I think. Because I knew he could open my womb. I knew he could. But he wasn't. And so then you're asking why and all the rest. And then did anything good come from that experience? If so, what was it? And I wrote down Jonathan and Joel. Because we wouldn't have had the need to adopt.
Right.
We wouldn't have, you know, kind of thing. And I just want to share the verse that we put on Jonathan's baby announcement. And my mother helped write all these out. We had 93 women at his baby shower.
Wow.
At the church. And we were going to. So these are the thank you. Actually, no, thank you notes or whatever they were. It was from Hannah's prayer. For Samuel 1:27-28. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And we have done that. And God has been faithful.
Yeah. Anybody have anything else?
Well, in your case, your blessing went even further because you got two kids who needed you.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that you needed them.
Well, I had a prodigal son. Jason, when he was 10, was in the hospital for 6.5 weeks. And took about a year to get him through everything. And then Dave's illness, he was in the hospital for 8.5 weeks, home for 2 weeks, back in for another 3 weeks. And it was just a real roller coaster ride. And Philippians 1:6 came to me. It's just, you know, be confident of this very thing, that he who has began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so I just had to trust, and God is faithful, he's worthy. You just need to surrender these things to him, abide in him, rest in him, allow him to do his work according to his will. And what good came from this experience for me? It was spiritual growth. And remembering God has a plan for each of us, and he needs to be allowed to work according to his perfect will in each life as he sits fit, sees fit. And I just need to be careful and not be a stumbling block to myself or to others. And I just think that's important too. We can do that if we're not careful. So. And my prodigal son is headed for eldership in the church now. So it was a pretty rough few years there, but the Lord did a great work when he did it. So how can coming to grips with the fact that God is in control of nature affect your daily life, especially your current circumstances? There again,
I just wrote, I am content.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I had to learn. I always remember in Philippians 4, where Paul says, I have learned to be content in all things. I thought, he had to learn it. I need to learn it too. And so that really was something that really struck me, to learn to be content.
He really, 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 really does know best.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Uh-huh. So I just remember he's just in all his ways. His will is always perfect. I can have a more positive attitude because of that, and recognizing the great power of God in the storms. And it brought out in the reading before this that an average storm can bring about 500,000 tons of water. That's the power of God. And that's a lot, you know? So, and then I copied down Habakkuk 3:17-19. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there are no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the field and there be no cattle in the stall, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places. So that's quite a promise.
You know Peggy Osmond?
Mm-mm.
Peggy Osmond used to be in my Bible study, and she's a country singer kind of thing. And she wrote a song in our Bible study of that verse. Uh-huh. I wish I could sing it. I can hear it in my head.
Yeah.
But I can sing it. But it's very good. It's,
yeah.
It's just those words almost exactly from King James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
So, yeah, we can wonder why. I always say, what am I supposed to learn from this? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? And I haven't quite figured this last trial out yet, but I'm sure, and a lot of times we don't see it when we're going through it. It's when we're through it and we look back and we can see what God's hand did through all of that. And it's just a thanks, Lord. As hard as it can be sometimes, and it can be very hard, but just have a thankful heart. Mm-hmm. This too shall pass, I always say. May not be in my lifetime, but it will pass. So. Any other thoughts or anything on all this? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer, shall we? Oh, Father, there's just so much to be thankful for. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you that you are omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, that you're all we need, Lord, and you are our hope. And we have so much to look forward to. Today may not be our best day, but there's hope, and we can count on that. Your promises never fail. They all come true. You never go back on your word. You're with us continually. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay.